This is Space Waffles, a Star Wars podcast.
Welcome to Space Waffles. I'm Arzu.
And I'm Candace.
And we are coming off of the back end of a trip to Disney World that the two of us took together. Well, I went to visit Candace and we went to Disney World. And because we were at Disney World, that naturally meant we went to Galaxy's Edge, of course, because how could we not? I think we went more than once, right?
We went twice. We went twice, yeah.
Yeah, we went twice. And that experience has inspired us today to talk about Rise of the Resistance.
Yes, we get to talk about two of our favorite things, theme parks and Star Wars.
And objectively, the best possible marriage of the two.
Exactly. It's ranked number one on a lot of people's lists, including like Theme Park Insider. Those people have been on all the rides, so they know what they're talking about. Yeah. And this is a ride that's in Galaxy's Edge at Disney World Hollywood Studios and Disneyland. And it's soon going to be at Walt Disney Studios in Paris, which honestly, that park really needs a ride like this. We went last year. And we spent just a couple hours there. We probably would have spent less if you guys didn't get stuck in the line of Tower of Terror over in Paris.
Listen, I think of the two lines we got stuck in, the fake Avengers roller coaster was the bigger drain on our time. That said, it gave us a funny story, so I'm glad we did it. But yeah, you're right that like Studio Park definitely needs something else, because as of right now, it's very hodgepodgey and there's not a ton to do, which doesn't really justify like a 2-day trip to Disneyland Paris, in my opinion.
We did one day and we did majority of everything. We did most of it.
Yeah.
So this ride was open December 5th, 2019, first in Disney World. And Arzu, do you remember the first time you rode this ride?
With you.
It was with me. I was asking for everyone, but like I knew that, but I was like,
The first time I went to Batuu was summer 2019 in California. So Rise wasn't open yet. So I was just like looking at the, because I knew what was coming, like in terms of this is going to be a really big ride. It's going to have a trackless system. It's going to be really immersive, but it wasn't open. So I didn't really know anything about it. So the first time I went was with you 2 years ago, almost in Florida.
And honestly, Galaxy's Edge desperately needed this ride, because going when it's just Smuggler's Run, you know, it's a really cool scene. And the restaurant is cute and the bar is a little crowded, but it's got the atmosphere. But yeah, it really needed this ride. And what was your first impressions?
Like the very first time, I'm glad that I went in fairly spoiler free. I knew about the Stormtrooper room because
everyone took photos of that.
In everybody's picture. So I knew that. I kind of thought that was like a backdrop, or that it was smaller than it actually was. But my first impression was honestly just impressed, because spoilers for this ride, if you haven't been on it and you don't want to know what happens, like just stop listening now, because we're just going to spoil the whole thing. But
tell people to stop listening.
If you've clicked on this and you haven't been on it, I'm not entirely sure why. But the bit in the beginning when like you go into Rey's little room and she kind of gives you the deal, and then you cross the courtyard to go into the little ship to go up to the first destroyer ship. We go in and the door behind us closes. And I'm thinking, okay, I get it. Like this door's going to close and it's going to shake us a bit. And then the other door on the other side is going to open. And like we flew to space, but really we're just like in an antechamber before going into the ride building. So imagine my shock when the same door we walked in from is the one that opens. And that's where the Stormtroopers are. And from there on out, I was just like, I don't have any expectations. Whatever I thought a theme park ride was going to be, this is not it. This is on another level.
So it's really interesting. And that's one of those things that really helps the immersion of it. And it's the transport is a motion simulator. It's on a turntable. So it's kind of like a Lazy Susan. So there's three of them going at once. And it's rotated, and the rotations and movements are...
That's what you're feeling.
Yeah, you're synced with what you're seeing on screen, which you see Lieutenant Beck being like, okay, we're going to get to the base. Oh no, Star Destroyer. and then you get captured.
So what I thought was happening was that the car you're in this ship is just like sliding forward or back, like into the show building.
Yeah.
But then like when we went this last trip, like a couple months ago, I realized there's not any room on either end of the ship for a car to slide somewhere because the ship ends. It's not like embedded in the rocks so that the car can slide. Like there's physically no space for that. But the Lazy Susan thing makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. So the first time I went on this was January of 2020. And I'm very glad I took that trip because, well, you all know. Yeah. But the first because time.
Things happened.
The first time I went with my friend Emily, and I was very excited, Galaxy's Edge, and I'm very excited to show her this ride because she's from out of town. And I was like, I don't know the next time she's going to be able to go to Disney World. Let's go on this ride. We woke up at like 4 a.m. to get the into the park because at the time, that's when you had to click in to like actually. Yeah, it was great. We're totally morning people. It was fine. So we get to the room with a hologram and Ray, and we're like, great. And then a cast member stops us and say, hey, we're going to have to take you guys off.
No.
We'll get you a return time. We got a return time. Second time, we're in the ship with Lieutenant Beck, and we're like, okay, we're going to finally go see the stormtroopers. We see the stormtroopers. Another cast member stops us and says, sorry, we're going to have to take you off the ride. Third time, this is all the same day, we get into the actual line after the stormtroopers.
Right.
Cast member comes and says, sorry, we have to take you off this ride. But luckily, we were there overnight. I went to guest experiences and I was like, hey, I was very excited about this ride. I was wearing like my birthday button and everything. I'm just like, I'm just very disappointed about this. I was very nice. And that's the thing is just be nice. Just be nice in general. There's no reason.
Honestly, there's no reason to be rude.
This cast member did not control the mechanics of this ride.
Yeah.
Let's be real. So they give us another day in Hollywood Studios to come in anytime to ride it. And the next day we went and it worked perfectly fine.
There you go.
But there has been some issues with this ride. It's gotten a lot better.
It happened to me too when we went the first time. Like you remember this. Like the first time it went seamlessly. And I'm so glad it went seamlessly the first time. But the second time.
Oh, me too.
Before we didn't get to go into the ship with Poe Dameron, like we walked out of Ray's room and they're like, go this way. And they walked us through like the access tunnel, like the cast member tunnel where all the offices are, like around the ship and then into the stormtrooper room from the back end. And I'm like, well, I'm glad this wasn't the first trip because this really would have killed the immersion and also would have missed the whole ship kidnapping scene.
Oh yeah. I love going into that ship and being like, yeah, this is the ride to people who don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I feel like that's it.
Yeah. So the issue, the reason it didn't come out right when Galaxy's Edge opened is because there was an issue with the NFC chips that guide the trackless rides throughout the vehicles. And they were buried too deep into the floors for the ride to actually detect them, requiring all the floors to be torn up and replaced. So we wanted to talk about three very important things that we think make this ride the best ride ever. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things is the immersion. And that's just all things in Galaxy's Edge, right, Arzu?
Yeah, I think Galaxy's Edge as a whole is extremely immersive. I love, like, I know Batuu West, so the California one does have like, actually, no, Batuu East now, too, has, like, Mando walking around and, like, Boba Fett and Ahsoka. And it used to be Fennec Shand, but, of course, they took her away before I could ever meet her. They have, like, those characters walking around for some reason. But besides that, I think they're really good at keeping this, like, this is one very specific day in Batuu that you are living through. Like, Groundhog Day style. Like, it's the exact same day every day. And I love that about Galaxy's Edge. And then I think Rise of the Resistance really, because it's such a contained experience, really encapsulates that immersion really well.
Yeah. So there's no signs for this ride. There's not like Rise of the Resistance anywhere.
There's just, there's just the time thing, right?
Yeah.
You have the time posted. And that's how you know that's the entrance to the ride.
Exactly. So it's on the outskirts of Black Spire, and it's a rebel resistance base, I should say. Resistance. It's a rise of resistance. And when you go through this queue, you like see all this like resistance supplies and flight suits, and you see those maps from I was just getting your book out. Yes. So you see all these things, like this base is being packed up to go to another base. And it has those iconic maps, which I think a lot of Star Wars nerds have taken photos with, where you're just like pointing.
Oh, yeah. That's the other one. That's the other thing I saw before I ever went was the map.
Yeah. Which that was my profile picture for so long, but that's also because it was like I made it in February 2020. And after that, I didn't take many other photos. So you're just fully immersed. And then you get into this hologram and you find out you have a mission. You're going to a different base. Ray said, go to this base. And BB-8 said it too. And you're like, yeah.
And what Ray says goes.
Yes. And when you're outside, you see this X-Wing. And it's life size, and it was actually used in The Mandalorian.
Oh.
It's the one that Dave Filoni was in, actually.
So they took it out for the show and brought it back?
No, they were building it, and they're like, hey, we're going to use that. Because it was, yeah. So it's like, it's worthy of TV. So, and you can see BB-8 in the X-Wing. Being like waiting for Poe, yes. Which I think really adds a immersion. You're like, okay, Poe's coming with us. He's like right out back. And you get into the ship. And if you haven't been on this ride, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happening. And the ship literally moves. The animatronic of Lieutenant Beck, who's a Mon Calamari, is amazing.
It's so just good. I think it's the best animatronic on the ride. And I think it's because you're physically the closest to it. So,
oh, yeah. You can get so close to the animatronic. I feel like it's the closest you can get to an animatronic at Disney.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, I guess if you're on Star Tours, the 3PO animatronic, you're about the same distance if you're sitting up front. But otherwise, yeah.
But also, it's like it's a living.
Yeah, it's not being. A droid. It's a flesh and blood being.
Yeah. And like we were talking about the stormtroopers, there's actually 50 stormtroopers all lined up staring at you. And the clever thing is they have a few of them that move. So you never know which ones are going to move.
But it just, that the movement of the stormtroopers, and I honestly think the scale of the room is what really sells the immersion. Like it is a colossal room. Like it's truly like life size. It's like, it's a realistically sized, you know, Star Destroyer hangar. Like if we all remember like the Force Awakens, like with the room that Poe and Finn go into with like the TIE fighters mounted to the wall, like it's the same size as that room.
Yeah. And you have these giant TIE fighters that you're like, okay, I could actually like fit in one of those, you know?
And you probably could.
Yep.
Yeah.
And really, I think one of the most beautiful things about this ride, we're not talking about technology. We're not talking about the set. We're talking about the cast members who play the First Order. And these people are committed to the bit.
And it's like
the only
service job at Disney World where you're allowed to be like mean to people.
Yes. I treated myself that first Rise of the Resistance. With my birthday money, I got a resistance jacket that had like the rebel symbol and everything on it. And the First Order guy like comes up to me. He's like, not really smart to wear the symbol right there, you know? It's like, you can't really deny it because I had also my X-Wing backpack too. I was like,
you were just broadcasting the fact that you're a resistance spy.
Exactly. Couldn't even deny it. No. And so at 18 minutes for the complete experience, this is one of the longest Disney attractions. The ride itself is 5 minutes, which is long.
Still pretty long. Ride.
Yeah. There are 18 scenes, 18 distinct scenes in the ride itself, too.
Is that including, like, Rey and going into the ship with Poe and the stormtrooper room? Is that including all that?
I don't know. I could see it either way.
Because, like, I'm thinking about the movement of the car, and 18 feels like a lot. But if you add in, like, up to the end, like, where you see Beck again, that feels like 18.
Yeah. But I feel like even if it's just, like, more than 10, that's more than usual, most rides. And also, it makes you feel like the scope of a Star Destroyer. Because even, like, the first scenes of A New Hope, you see a Star Destroyer going after the Tantive V. And that's just the size of it. And this is bigger.
Yeah. You're right. It really does a really good job of painting the scale, like, just by what's in there. Like the size of the room when you walk into the stormtrooper room. Like, later when you're in the room with the AT-ATs and you have to go up a level. And they're, like, full size. Like, they're also life size. Like, it really paints a picture of the scale of these things.
So, going to technology on that note, which is a huge part of this, is the room with the AT-ATs actually only contains two, but with the use of mirrors, it looks like there's four of them. I had no idea. It really feels like there's multiples, like four.
I feel like I don't ever notice anything but the two because they're, like, right in your face, but I have to pay attention next time. I did notice this trip because usually I'll go under the legs and then go up the elevator that where they're shooting at you from the side of the AT-AT. Mm-hmm. But there's, like, the second track where you go up the other way and you're right in front of its face.
Yeah.
I know for the first time on this last trip, I ended up on that track and I noticed this room has two fins in it, one for each track.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that makes, cause I, like, the whole time when I would go up the first track, I'm like, what kind of sucks if you're going the other way? Cause you don't see Finn, but no, you see Finn either way. Also, so apologies these AT-ATs, if you thought any of this was real and we're just disillusioning you.
No, just breaking the illusion. Yeah. The AT-ATs are 72 feet tall, which they feel it, don't they? Again,
if I was a child, I would be crying. I would be crying. It would be too big.
I'm surprised you weren't as an adult.
I'm like, legally can't hurt me.
but as going a child, back to. Going back to the very beginning of Rey, like we talked about the hologram, it is created by an OLED display with a one-way mirror. That's how that giant hologram. And it's just an amazing effect. You feel like you're in a Star Wars with that hologram and with, like, little BBA just, you know, peeking out. He's on a track, which you can't quite see him rolling, but because it's he's on the track. Yeah.
It's the same thing you see in Guardians in California.
Oh, with Rocket.
With Rocket, when he pops up, it's the same idea. Like, the track is beneath the border, so you don't see it. Very clever.
And when you get into the interrogation room, which again, I was a kid, I would be crying, honestly. The images of General Hux and Kylo Ren are the effect is the Pepper's ghost effect, like the Haunted Mansion.
Really?
However, they use additional projections to create shadows so they look solid versus translucent. Like
I thought it was a screen. Mm-mm. That's well, so cool. Screens with it.
But yeah, so it's Pepper's ghost plus shadows.
How is Pepper's ghost being done with a video?
You can do it with videos too, with a reflection.
Oh, I guess.
Yeah. And then
I'm not doubting the information. Yeah. I'm just like, I want to see like how it works.
Oh yeah. No, I was trying to read all this information so I could explain it better, but I can't. But
that's really cool.
Inserting a video of what Pepper's ghost looks like all around right here. Sorry for people listening at home. Watch our video on YouTube. So Kylo and Hux leave, and the Resistance rescues you, There's projected effects in strobe lights that are used to simulate the metal being cut, and it slides away with a mechanism. And I've been in the interrogation room before where you just hear people outside going, and like nothing's happening. And I'm like, they're not going to rescue us.
Just going to leave. Listen, if you tell Kylo to call his mom, he'll just storm off and then you'll be fine.
Which Arzu did at Galaxy's Edge, which inserting here now for the video. So the vehicles utilize a wireless charging as well as RFID pucks in the floor to give the vehicles positions data, allowing it to navigate the attraction without a track. And this attraction is actually two stories. So they have to make sure they know also what floor they're on as well.
Right.
And there's charging ports where you load and where you unload. So they're constantly being charged in between like the ride. So there's
no
way.
Imagine your car just dies in the AT-AT room and you're just sitting there.
I would be so happy because I'd be like, where's that mirror at?
Oh, that's true.
Let me find it. So I think also this goes with immersion and the story itself. Like the ride has multiple ride systems, which includes motion simulator, a trackless ride, and it has a drop, which...
Let's talk about the drop,
which is so funny every time I ride it. I've ridden it like 10 times now, and I still like jump every time.
So the very first time we went, like a couple years ago, I was so into this, and I was so immersed that when you get in the elevator in the AT-AT room and go up, it hadn't occurred to me, if you go up, you have to come back down because that's where the loading is. I hadn't thought about this. So, because like, why am I thinking ahead? I'm in the moment. But then, you know, Kylo Ren comes out and he's like waving his arms and threatening you. And then you're like, run. And then you get in those escape pods. And I can hear the car lock into something.
Mm-hmm. Why would it lock, Arzu?
I'm like aware. I can see it, that we slid into a lock. And I'm not even thinking about it until it starts rumbling. And you can see out the window that other escape pods are dropping.
Yep.
I was not expecting it to drop. And then it did. So I screamed. And then you kind of bounce around a bit and then you land on Batuu. But
yeah.
For all that they really do telegraph that you're about to fall, it's very easy to forget you're about to fall.
Yeah. And it's a great way to end the ride. Like, how do you get off this Star Destroyer? You get in a...
get in an escape pod and you run.
Yeah, you get an escape pod and that thing drops. So let's talk about the animatronics. Like we talked before, Lieutenant Beck is amazing. I stare at him every time I'm on it, where I'm like, why are you so beautiful? You're so pretty. And I know you do that with the Kylo Ren one too. So,
but
there,
like,
are...
the reason I'm doing that to the Kylo Ren one, is that the same reason you're doing that to Lieutenant Beck one?
No, I'm more like, you're a tech marvel. You're so cool.
Whereas I'm like, I will tell you anything you want to know, Kylo Ren.
I know, it's a problem.
And also a little bit General Hux.
General Hux is so extra.
He needs a hug.
Okay, so there are 65 animatronic figures in this ride.
Is that including the stormtroopers?
Yeah, I don't think it counts like all 50 of them, but the ones that move. Because the ones that don't move are just like, you know, statues. Because there's also those two when you get through the queue a bit.
There's two inside. Like, there's a Hux, a Kylo, two Finns.
There's multiple Kylos.
There's like three Kylos.
Yeah.
Three Kylos, two stormtroopers in the room. There's one Hux, two Finns. They have to be counting all those stormtroopers.
Yeah, I guess they do.
They're not moving.
There are three higher end animatronics using Disney A-1000 audio animatronic technology, which is used for Hondo in Smuggler's Run.
Okay.
And the amazing Beauty and the Beast ride in Tokyo, Belle, is with that technology, which I can't wait for us to go.
We're going
to Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Are.
Start we haven't booked anything yet, but
no, we have not. I have not even looked at the prices.
I'm panicking.
I am panicked
for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah, my credit cards are panicking. Anyway. On that note. But anyway, so definitely one of the Kylos. I believe the Kylo, when he's trying to get you before he gets blown out of an airlock, is one of the fancy ones. And Beck is definitely one.
Yes.
I don't know which one.
Finn animatronics are not great.
No, they are not. Same with Hux. Hux.
Yeah.
Is a little, but you're not really looking at Hux.
Three of them are a little worse for wear.
Yeah.
I don't even think they're worn out. I just feel like because you see them so briefly.
Yeah.
They don't come at you. You're just kind of looking at them as you're moving. I think that's why. Because like the Kylo one that threatens you right before he gets pulled out of the airlock or whatever, it's right up in your face. Yeah. And they hold you there for a minute. So I think that's why. But
so some interesting things about this then is the narrative itself. Is you feel like you're part of the story. So this is set between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. Apparently, there is a reason Kylo has his helmet in this time period, Matt Mernon said, but I can't find what the story is. Just that there is a reason. Do you know it, Arzu?
No, because he broke it in The Last Jedi. And then
and he thinks that in Rise of Skywalker.
Why is he wearing his helmet? He doesn't have a helmet. Maybe this is his extra.
Yeah, it's his extra. It's his backup.
He doesn't want a sunburn, so.
Yeah.
He's wearing his helmet.
He's not used to having his face out so much. He's like, oh.
He's just too busy crying over Rey, and he's like, maybe I should keep my bloodshot eyes to myself, and puts the helmet on. That's my reason.
There we go. She made it about Reylo.
Are we surprised that I brought this up?
I know, but I was waiting. You took some time.
Well, I didn't need to go out of my way to make this one about Ben Solo. The ride's about half about Kylo Ren.
The ride is Ben Solo. It's Ben Solo. The ride is really.
That's quite the ride.
No, gross. Okay, gross. Apologies to children watching. The waterfall at the beginning of the line is referenced heavily in Delilah Dawson's novel, Black Spire, which Arzu has right here. If you are listening to the podcast, she is holding up the book.
If you are a book person and you want to read more about Galaxy's Edge, I'm going to do a little book promo real quick. Delilah Dawson's Black Spire is an adult novel set on Batuu, and Zoraida Cordova's A Crash of Fate is a young adult novel set on Batuu. Black Spire is an outsider's view of Batuu, and Crash of Fate is two kids who live there. So you get an insider and an outsider perspective. That's my book talk. Thank you for listening.
Speaking of books, the planet that you're being sent to for the new base is Ibakura, which is a planet from Legends, Truce Epicura by Kathy Tylers. The ship that you are sent to is the Finalizer, which was first seen in Force Awakens. It is Kylo's ship. The big boy, the big ship.
That's why he's there.
There are some fan theories, which I like, because it puts everything together with the Galaxy's Edge. Like, if you ride Star Tours first, you find out there's like a rebel spy with you on Star Tours, or you are the rebel spy. Who knew? And a lot of the times, it's at least lately have been sequel characters like Poe being like, hey, get the spy to here, or Lando being like, join us. And the idea is that, okay, you went on this trip with a rebel spy, and now you're like, okay, well, I'm joining the rebellion because, you know, this guy in coach was nice. I don't know. Or like about a quarter of the time, I feel like you end up landing in Batuu anyway.
So
maybe you get caught up in the drama and you're just like, what's going on? I'm a resistance spy now.
Which would kind of suck if you're in California or in Paris, because Star Tours is in the other park.
Yeah. And Star Tours is in the same park at Disneyland, but it's on the other side of the park.
Yes, it is. It's not a California Adventure.
No. Star Tours is in Tomorrowland and Disneyland, and Galaxy's Edge is near Frontier. Yeah.
I got that mixed. I was definitely thinking about Paris only. But yeah, if they put it up in Studio Park in Paris, Star Tours is in the other park.
Yeah.
So,
oh, I wonder if the Rise of Resistance is going to be in French.
Oh, that's a good question. Because, like, what Disneyland Paris does, for those of you that haven't gone, is a lot of their rides that are, like, narrative-based are bilingual. So they'll have one character say something in English and the other one will respond to them in French. But that just begs the question of who is speaking English and who is speaking French.
I feel like Kylo's
probably going to speak French because they don't have to worry about his mouth.
Because
Ours
is worried about his mouth. Okay, never mind. Yeah.
If you've ever read fanfiction, you know, you know. If you know,
you know.
We all know. That wasn't subtle.
Yeah, when we rode the Avengers roller coaster, which is really just Rock and Roller Coaster, I was lied to. Brie Larson's there as Captain Marvel, but they have someone else playing Tony Stark and his in Iron Man helmet. Suit, and he's speaking French while she's like, "That's right, Tony, we need to do this." While in French, he's like, "We need to do this," kind of thing.
You know what? It'll probably be. It'll probably be. Ray will probably speak English. Beck will speak French.
Yeah. And Poe will speak
Finn English. Will speak French because once you're on the ride, you can hear him, but you can't see him. Finn will speak French. Poe will speak English. Kylo will speak French. Hux will speak English.
Yep.
We've got this down for posterity. So when this opens, I want to check this against what actually winds up happening.
Yeah, we'll have to look at some ride.
We'll have to just go to Paris.
Or we could just go. We didn't spend enough time in either Disneyland Paris or Paris, in my opinion. Yeah, like a week in Paris, right? Yeah, just go back in Paris, just like that, right? Not like we have a Tokyo trip to save up for.
Anyway.
We have a lot on our mind. We're recording this right after the tickets were announced.
Like, we've got so much going through our heads right now, so.
Yes.
Anyway.
Something I'm a little sad about the ride is the scene where you're going through, like, the laser cannon room. The laser cannons used to move. And that's the idea of why your vehicle, like, stops, because you're trying to time it. Well, the droid is trying to time it, and they're trying to go, like, you know, before. But I haven't been on it since 2020, and it moved. And I've been on both.
I Disneyland have never seen it move. And the first time I went was 2022. I've never seen those move.
I'm sad, because it was a really cool effect. I don't know what happened to make it stop. But
maybe that was one of the effects that was just breaking the most easily. And it doesn't really, it's cool, but it doesn't, like, affect the narrative if it doesn't happen. So they just cut their losses.
But if you know, like, you're like, why aren't you moving? Why are we taking our sweet time going through this?
Yeah.
I guess you could argue that the laser is going overhead. You don't want them to
like, it's almost like you're waiting for the laser to stop and then going, which doesn't totally track because it's not aimed at you, but it's fine. Like, kids won't notice.
Yeah. Speaking of the vehicle and the driver, R5, the little droid that has been reprogrammed, is so cute. I love him. He is he's on a redemption journey. He was an Imperial, like, prisoner droid, and now he's, like, part of the resistance, and he's doing his best. Everyone should be nicer to him.
It's the coolest. It's not the coolest thing, but it's a pretty cool thing, is that when you're first pulling out of the bay, like when the resistance rescues you and you're pulling out of the bay to get off the ship, and you're in the initial room after you leave, your car and the car of the other people who loaded in the same room are going through, and two other cars are passing you and they're empty. And it's like, don't be suspicious, because they're scanning you or whatever.
Yeah.
They're just going back to the bay to load the next group. But because, like, the eyes are flashing a different color, like, they've integrated the need to move the cars back into the room as, like, part of the story.
Yeah. And I think, like, that's, they could have just loaded
in from a different direction, but it's so much cooler to, like, take the road less traveled, take the easiest route of just loading them in through that main hallway and just making it part of the story.
And it makes everything feel like, okay, there's one way out, you know, one way in and out.
One way out. And also that, like, you're not the only car in here. Like, there are other droids running around. So it does add to that immersion as well.
And there's evil droids. There's, like, evil, suspicious droids. And yeah, I love that. They could just be, like, kind of, like, ignored or put up, like, make the room smaller so you don't see the other people, the other empty.
I think that's the strongest thing about this ride, is that there's so many places where you, if as somebody who has been to a lot of theme parks, where we can just look at these and be like, you could have cut a corner here and they chose not to.
Oh,
definitely. And like, we wouldn't have known what we were missing. So we would have been fine with it. We probably still would have been really impressed, but they don't cut any corners. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. They could have totally made the AT room, like a screen room with the AT-ATs.
Or like one AT-AT.
Oh yeah. One. They gave us two and mirrors that made it look like four.
Full size AT-ATs. That's a lot.
That is a lot. And making it two stories also, and having this like, it's an 18-minute experience, really. Like, once you get into, like, once you get past, like, the rocky cave area and you're in, like, the actual resistance base and you're seeing all this, like, the blasters and the flight suits and you see, even see, like, the BACTA thing. That
all Finn of which is in. Explained in here in Black Spire. I swear, because, like, she set up this base for Leia and she's, like, supplying and she's gathering things and she's storing them there. So it's all actually explained in the book, like why that stuff is there.
Yeah. And it's, and even if you haven't read the book, you just feel like, okay, it makes sense. All this stuff is here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you feel like you're in a Star Wars. And that, isn't that all we've wanted since we were small children, is to be in a Star Wars?
Listen, it's not nearly the same level of immersion, but the theme park near my house, I used to have this ride. I don't know what it was called. It was like the Octo something. It was like this little pod you would sit in, like two people at a time, and it would kind of go up and like swing you around a little bit, like little spider claws, and then just bring you back down.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to sit in there, and like if we were an odd number of kids, I would volunteer to ride alone because then I could hold the handle and pretend I was pod racing. And that was my immersion. So to go from that to this is like, look at us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was on test track as a little kid, I'm like, this could be pod racing, maybe. Maybe. Just holding on.
Yeah, I wanted to be a professional pod racer, but those aren't things. And also, I'm a coward, so it didn't work out for a couple.
And also, I don't know if your M count's high enough, Arzu. I'm sorry.
You don't know that.
We don't know that. We got to get you tested. Got to get you tested. Midichlorians. I keep talking about Bad Batch being cowards. We're not saying midichlorians. So midichlorians.
Let me go get a Motorola. No, what is
it? No, it's a shave. It's a shaver.
It's not Motorola though. What's the brand? It is Motorola. Gillette. It's Gillette. Let me go get a Gillette razor.
Motorola is like, was a phone company.
What?
Motorola was a phone company.
No, they are. There's another component in one of the movies that's like a Motorola phone, but it's not that. Let me go get a Gillette razor. And I'll tell you what my M count is.
Yeah, sounds good. On that note, I think even if we weren't like Star Wars fans as diehard as we are, we have a freaking Star Wars podcast. I'm like,
well, the first time you and I went on it, we were with a couple of our friends, one of whom is a Star Wars fan, and the other whom really isn't. Like, I don't think she'd seen all of them, or maybe she saw them once. We got off of Rise, and she was the first one to suggest we get back in line and go again.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. That's how impressive it is.
I feel like, like, it's the same thing with the Pandora, the Avatar land. Is Avatar's fine. I've seen it, you know? I'm not rewatching it.
Avatar land. I haven't seen it since 2010, but I loved Avatar land.
Yeah. So it's like, we can judge these as also theme park fans who are insane. And we'll be in Paris and be like, what if we go to Disneyland Paris while we're in Paris? I'm already looking at
we tell people that parks. They're like, why?
Yeah, why? Don't you have Disney? You have Disney at home, right? Like,
literally, we're not going to Disneyland Paris. We have Disney at home.
Yes, exactly. But like, I'm already looking up all the theme parks that are in Tokyo, just Disneyland Tokyo. Yeah, is Universal worth it? Is
Universal not in Tokyo?
The Ghibli Park.
Which one? Ghibli Park, I think, is worth it, but you have to make a reservation like way in advance. Universal's in another island. It's not in Tokyo.
Okay, never mind.
I mean, you can get there on the bullet train really quickly, but it's not in Tokyo.
Okay. Cool.
So if you're going way, I think it's worth it.
You do?
If you're like as a theme park buff. I haven't been, I should say. I haven't been to Universal Studios Japan, but if you're going all that way.
Yeah. Probably won't be back in at least a while.
Like, when is the next time you're going back to Japan? Like,
yeah. Okay. But yes, we want to know, are you a fan of Rise of Resistance? Is there things about it that are cool that we missed?
If not, what's wrong with you?
On that note, I guess.
On that note.
You can find us at thegeekywaffle.com, geeky_waffle on Twitter, thegeekywaffle everywhere else. And we have a Space Waffles Twitter as well, which is, I do not remember. Which is Space Waffles?
It's at Space Waffles Pod.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think Space Waffles was taken. So it's at Space Waffles Pod. I'm at Arzu. I put at Arzu D2 in this video. That's not my handle. It's at Arzu.
Good job, Arzu.
It's at Arzu D2 on Instagram, so that's correct, but yeah. That's not my Twitter handle. Candace is a geek. And
I'm just realizing we had our lower thirds in different formats.
I just, what a mess.
We fail on so many levels.
That's us in a nutshell. We don't do things the same way, but we'll do them together.
We're messy, but
that's why you love us.
Yeah.
May the waffles be with you.